Italy's borrowing costs have crossed a dangerous threshold.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Interest rates on Italian bonds have reached a mark that economists worry about. The yield on 10-year Italian debt is now above 7%, which could make that country's debt next to impossible to pay back. Already, the Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi is poised to step down after the country implements economic reforms. Guy Dinmore is the Italian correspondent for the Financial Times newspaper, and he's with us now from Rome. Hey there, Guy.
Good morning.
I know with the Prime Minister stepping down, the cost to borrow has still gone up into what some are saying is an unsustainable level. I mean, what does the government and the Italian economy do now?
Yes, the markets are truly panicking, and this has shocked the entire political establishment here, who thought the deal last night whereby the Prime Minister, Silvio Berlusconi, would resign would be enough to appease the markets. There's now a great concentration in the minds of everyone in Italy to pass this reform legislation as quickly as possible, which would then be followed by Mr. Berlusconi's resignation. The trouble is that he is pressing for elections to follow, and the markets are completely spooked by the idea of several months of paralysis and no action and an uncertain outcome, and would much prefer that Italy had an emergency government in place, possibly led by a technocrat from outside parliament who would try and restore market confidence.
I know we have market reaction and government reaction. What are people on the street saying?
It's very mixed. A lot of people are very skeptical that Berlusconi will carry out his promise to resign once these reform measures are passed. I think there's quite a lot of doubt and confusion in the streets, which mirrors what's going on within political circles.
Financial Times Italian correspondent Guy Dinmore in Rome. Guy, thank you.
My pleasure.
And the head of the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde, is in Beijing today, asking the Chinese government to step in and do some buying of European debts, and so many others will probably shy away. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
While the developed world is down in the dumps, China's economy continues to shine, which might explain Lagarde's gloomy speech today in front of her Chinese counterparts.
We believe that the world economy has entered a dangerous and uncertain phase.
Lagarde said the global economy is on the verge of a lost decade. She even set up an account on China's version of Twitter to spread her message.
It's possible that Lagarde is engaging in some gamesmanship to try and get the Chinese to up the ante a little bit.
Beijing economist Arthur Krober says Lagarde will have to do her best to show the Chinese that the European debt crisis is a crisis for China, too.
It's purely a question of how persuasive she is about the scale of the problem and to what extent the Chinese believe that their own economy runs on a different track.
So why should Beijing bail out Europe when European banks are running away? Exports, says Krober. China still sells more exports to the EU than any other market. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are much lower at the moment, anywhere from 1 to 3.5%. Asian markets closed higher for the day, though. U.S. stocks yesterday, the Dow added 101 points to close at 12,170.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. By CSX, transporting 2 billion pounds of goods to market by train and working to help move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect.
Tomorrow, U.S. Supreme Court justices will decide whether to hear legal challenges to President Obama's health care reform law. Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us now from the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia. Good morning, Gregory.
Hey there, Steve.
So now, what's at issue here?
Well, the individual mandate is a requirement that all Americans buy insurance if they don't have it already. And this would start in 2014. It's a huge deal. 30 million people would be eligible off the bat, and there'd be big subsidies for those who can't afford it.
So what's at stake then for health insurance companies if the courts get rid of the mandate?
Well, the poor insurance industry, right? We need some violin music here. But let's take their side for a second, because there's this thing that insurers dread. It's called adverse selection. It's a fancy name for selling policies to too many sick people, basically. And that's bad for profits, because if they have more healthy people on their books, you know, they make money.
Yeah.
Now, the healthcare reform law puts all kinds of new restrictions on insurance companies. So they no longer can deny you for a pre-existing condition, that is, for being sick. They can't trick you with fine print that disqualifies you when you get sick. They have to let dependents under age 26 on your plan, even if your kid is sick. All this gives you and I more leverage to buy insurance when we need it. Randy Boberg at the Urban Institute says the individual mandate gets rid of this leverage by forcing everyone to buy insurance, even if they're healthy.
If you leave in place most of the reform and you get rid of the mandate, you increase the incentive to go uninsured, because you know if you ever need it, you can just sign on the dotted line and get it.
And that's the nightmare that keeps CEOs of insurance companies up at night.
All right. So is it possible then that the Supreme Court could get rid of the individual mandate to keep in place the rest of the law?
It's very possible. And the states and the Small Business Association leading this lawsuit say that, well, without the mandate, there's no law, that it would be like a de facto repeal. Now, the White House makes a pretty convincing argument that that's not entirely true. Yes, some pieces of the law, like the restrictions on insurance companies that I mentioned, those would fall. But this is a big law. You know, there's lots in it, whole sections on how doctors get paid and other things that would not be going away.
All right. Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Thanks, Gregory.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, Boston Red Sox fans, breathe a sigh of relief. Your ticket prices will not go up this year, or next year, I should say. The club said this week publicly available seat prices will stay the same for the second time in 4 years. Was it team owners feeling really generous to loyal fans? Could be. Was it the fact that the Red Sox won only 7 games out of 20 in September, lost their manager and general manager about at the same time? Trying times for the Red Sox. That's part of the official reason, too. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
All-nighters, college prep courses, or outsourcing the entire application process? Which one do you choose?
There's a lot of pressure on agencies to write the application essays, to fake transcripts, to fake recommendation letters.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Chinese students go abroad. It's the first of a two-part series next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.